This is Clinton Roberts of Arizona State University, HST 580 for the Journal of the Plague Year Archive. Today is July 11th, 2020, and I'm conducting a phone interview with J. Michael Bailey. J. Michael will be talking about his experiences of living during the COVID-19 pandemic and the effects it's had on those typically employed in the performing arts industry. J. Michael, what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, primary day-to-day. Right now, I'm a full-time student. Grad school has pretty much taken control here on the summer for me. Typically, during the year, I am an English teacher. I teach secondary English at a junior high school here in Ogden, Utah.
Okay. During your day-to-day life during the last few months, when did you first learn about COVID-19? What were your thoughts about it?
So I first learned about it, I was teaching at the time. So it was kind of a big deal. We were a little bit worried about what would go on with not only our employment, but being, locked indoors with, 35 plus kids in each classroom. That made us a little bit nervous. I heard about COVID for the first time, like most of us did on the news. And so my concerns, but it really spawned more concern for the underlying health issues that I had and being able to perform my job in an adequate manner to take care of my family. That's the biggest concern I had.
Well, how have your thoughts changed since then? Like, as you've heard more things and things have kind of developed, how have your thoughts changed?
Well, I'll be honest, I think it's gotten worse. I think I feel like my concerns have deepened over time. The more we know about the virus, the more we know about how it's transmitted and how it affects the human body over time, even for those who have, quote-unquote, recovered. My concerns have deepened because it seems as if, I don't know. I just think that sometimes the concerns of those who want to be responsible and who are really concerned with our fellow man and our families are taking it seriously. But as time goes on, it seems that there's a growing divide between those who do and those who don't take it seriously. So my concerns are more for the safety of my family and those around me in the face of having to deal with people who are not taking the precautions necessary to reduce the amount of transmission that's occurring.
As far as COVID-19, how has it affected your job?
It affected it pretty big. I mean, I ended up teaching from home like most did. So we used online platforms, which for my school is a Title I school, so roughly 70% of the kids had access to the internet, and it was spotty at that for some of those. Most of them did not have computers at home that were able to be used to access online instruction. So the scramble to provide them with the technology as well as the access to use that technology was pretty big. I think that the lack of preparation on behalf of districts and states, as well as the education system in general, really plagued the outcomes of 2020 when it comes to school. So the effects on teachers were pretty huge. It affected me in a great way because I felt like I actually worked more when I was working from home than I did when I was in the classroom, which was a pretty big deal because I thought I worked really hard when I was there. But I have found that it put a lot of undue pressure upon teachers, students, and parents to be teachers in their home. So it altered my job quite considerably.
As far as like COVID-19 pandemic, has it affected any of the people that you know, like their employment? And in what ways have you seen the economy in general change around employment of other people?
Right. I have a huge interest in the performing arts. In fact, I spent 20 years of my professional life as a professional actor, director, writer, musician. So I kind of surrounded myself with that demographic of people. Now, that specific demographic is difficult to maintain steady income anyway. It's that feast or famine thing they talk about. Some years are really, really great. Other years are very lean. But with the outbreak of COVID-19, I found that, luckily I was out of that industry by the time this hit. But I would say 98-99% of the people I know in the industry have taken a huge hit when it comes to income and stability. It's affecting them in ways that I can't even imagine. I mean, it's not only the mental health of being locked down like all of us are, but it's also dealing with the financial end of not having income come in, not being able to get access to unemployment income because of the sheer magnitude of people applying for it. I mean, most of my friends are in Chicago or New York, where there's millions of people applying for these things. It has drastically affected those people that I know that are in my circle of influence or friends that are still in the performing arts industry. It's taken a huge hit and an altered life for most, if not all of them.
As far as your personal family, how has COVID-19 affected you and your family's day-to-day activities?
Well, we're all still alive, which is a good thing. At the same time, it's tough living under the same roof 24/7 and having to deal with kids who don't quite understand that they can't go play with their friends or that they can't go out and just go to the swimming pool or to the water park, the lagoon, and amusement park, or any of these other activities they're used to doing, especially during the summer months. We've had to really restrict them doing just because of the social distancing guidelines and the threat of infection. So, we've come closer together as a family, I think, but also the tensions have risen in the home because we're constantly around each other and there's no real release. There's no real ability to get out and experience the things that they normally would. So sometimes tempers and higher than we'd like them to be in the home. The kids don't quite understand. And it does affect me and my wife as well because, we're being able to get out and get some relief as well. So it has altered the way we live our life for sure. We're having to, scrub groceries down when we bring them home, or having to do takeout instead of sitting down at a restaurant, or not being able to go to the movies, things like that. They make a dent in your social life as a family, which also makes a dent in the emotional capacity to deal with things.
What are some of the things that you and your family have done as a recreation, like an alternate thing that you've done during this time to kind of use as entertainment?
Right, right. I purchased a bunch of camping gear. And so we've gone camping and stuff, gone out of doors, went back into places where there's not a lot of folks and have an opportunity to, build a fire, set up a tent, and explore the outdoors a little bit more, which is good. It's something that we've wanted to do for the last few years, but this has kind of forced us to center ourselves on things that we can do. And that's one of them we have been able to. Taking drives out to the bird refuge, movie parties at home and making our own pizzas at home, things like that, throwing the ball in the backyard, bike rides, just cuddling on the couch, whatever it may be. It's forced us to do activities and recreation that are more involved with just the family in mind.
How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? Have you noticed that changes in your local community?
A lot. I think it starts to reveal and underline divisions that you didn't see before, because we're pretty divided here. There's you're either wearing a mask and following corporate guidelines, or you think it's a hoax and you refuse to wear a mask because it's infringing on your rights. And that's a pretty, it goes across the country, but here in this community particularly, it's been a pretty strong issue, a pretty hard line between divisions of people here. So it makes it difficult because we have had some outbreaks here in this area, and largely due to people who just don't follow some of the guidelines. So there creates frustration between neighbors. Things you have to start understanding that have to start evaluating your own way of looking at people, not judging, and starting to understand them. But at the same time, the division's been pretty huge. I mean, I know that the businesses in this area have taken a huge hit. We have a lot of eating establishments here. We also have a lot of consultation businesses and arts organizations and things like that, which require large groupings and things. They've had to shut their doors just for the mere fact that they cannot get around the social distancing guidelines. So it's become a real issue of the community. Luckily, I think a lot of the community benefits just demographically from the jobs they have. Unemployment has been an issue, but the lack of income hasn't been as big of an issue because we have churches involved to help people here. So a lot of the churches have stepped up to help people with income loss and things of that nature, which has been nice. But nonetheless, it is, you know, like any other moderately, it's not a hugely populated town, but it's not a rural town either. So we're definitely a suburban atmosphere here, and it's affected us, but not as greatly as it has some of the other more metropolitan areas with loss of income.
Have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak? And what has been your experience in responding to the sickness?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've had colleagues pass away during the pandemic. I've had a mentor, one of the first directors I ever worked with when I was coming up in the performing arts and the theater industry. He struggled with COVID for 70, 80 days before he passed away. And his family was here and he was in Michigan. So it was a rather hard, difficult last 70 days for that family. They're still grappling with the loss of not being able to be there with dad when he passed away and had postponed the funeral for, 20, 30 days afterwards and stuff like that because of contagion. So it has hit friends of mine pretty hard. I have friends of mine in New York City because the industry is so large there with performing arts. It's kind of the major hub, and being the way New York has been hit by this outbreak, I have friends who have been infected and have been through various stages of how the virus has actually infected or impacted their life. I have colleagues of mine who have passed away, again, besides mentors. People who've had the disease for over 90 days have passed away. So I myself, I've tested a couple times, and I tested negative the last time, but for 3 weeks I had symptoms that were pretty severe at times. They came and went with nausea, body aches, and intense joint pain, and fevers, and coughs, and inability to roll out of bed because I just didn't have the energy. My cognitive abilities to remember things and understand things changed considerably. My eyesight changed considerably. So, I think that mine was a false negative. Luckily, I didn't end up in hospitalization, but it was a long road for 3.5 weeks or so. I still have issues. It's a day-to-day situation with myself and trying to function with some of the symptoms I've had to endure. But I've been lucky because mine have been minor compared to a lot of my friends and what they've been dealing with.
Besides, the people who actually suffered with COVID-19, in what ways do you think that COVID-19 is affecting people's mental or physical health in general? Like, just people who have to live with the pandemic and all the things that we do from day to day, how is that affecting their mental and physical health, even if they didn't get COVID-19 themselves?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think that fear is a crippling thing. And I think with the COVID situation, we don't know a lot about it still. And the more we come to know about it, the more we realize how devastating it can be, which increases that fear. So it's the fear of not knowing, but it's also the fear of, once we know, are we going to get infected by it? Is it going to infect us the way they say it's going to affect us? So I think that those factors of fear really play on a person's mentality and their mental state, their emotional state. The fact that people are losing jobs or without income also plays on the stresses and the mental health of the individual and affects all through the family. So I think, you know, just as devastating as the physical effects have been for COVID, the emotional and mental health aspect of the disease is just intense. I've noticed a big trend in mine for my anxiety and my clinical depression that I suffered with for years. I mean, it's been heightened extremely by this mess that we're in. And especially when we see the way it's been handled. I mean, there's lots of different opinions on that. My opinion is that it's been handled really poorly in the United States. And because of that, I think it has also increased anger, which increases the problems with mental health. There's a sense of anger that people haven't taken responsibility or leadership with the responsibility they should. And so I think all those factors have contributed overboard. People who have COVID or who do not, it's affected everyone that way. It's also affected people who are like, hey, this is a hoax. This is ridiculous. Why aren't we opening up? And so the anger there is also affecting people. So I think there's a diverse, kind of this outreaching hand of reasons or tentacles of reasons that people are affected mentally and emotionally by just the presence of this pandemic in general.
As we've increasingly spent more time isolated in our homes, a big source of information is what we seek in the news to find out what's going on in the world around us. What have been your primary sources for gathering news during the pandemic?
Well, I've paid attention to the CDC, to the World Health Organization. I've paid attention to CNN and MSNBC. I've paid attention largely to NPR and PBS news outlets because I think they're a little bit more simple. And so I think it may be more accurate. They're telling facts instead of a skewed version of them. But I have, I've even looked at Fox News and some of the other outlets just to get a different a slant on what's going on. Of course, those ventures into those outlets have just convinced me more that I should never do it again. But I think that's part of the problem with the mental health you just mentioned a minute ago is because we have such diverse news outlets or media outlets right now that are skewed by partisan beliefs and ideologies instead of just giving news. So oftentimes I think that's a point of confusion, whether wear a mask or not wear a mask, whether it helps or it doesn't help, whether the numbers are correct or whether they're skewed. If doctors get more money for giving diagnoses on COVID patients versus non-diagnosis. So there's this slew of news that you kind of have to sift through. So my choice as a news outlets has been more for really focus on those outlets like PBS and NPR who are known for giving the information as they receive it instead of skewing it.
What do you think are some of the important issues that the media may or may not be covering? Have you noticed any stories that you kind of followed that you wished you would have heard more about or that you didn't see as much as you thought you should have seen?
That's a good question. So I think we've been barraged with a lot of stuff. I think there may be sometimes too much. Because I think maybe we can look at an issue and see five different spins on it. And oftentimes I think that's just contributory to why we feel the way we do mentally and emotionally. So your question kind of addresses something that's kind of a hot button for me, because I think that oftentimes the media is looking for sensation instead of for an accurate representation. At the same time, I also think that there's a lot of media outlets and journalists who are trying to really trying to report in an honest manner to help the situation. So oftentimes we receive, it requires the citizen to look at the information they're receiving and decide whether that is important information or whether we need more of it or less of it. To answer your question, I don't know. I really think we've been barraged with such great amounts of information. You know, I would love to hear more about the success stories of people recovering, but at the same time, the more we hear about success stories about people recovering, the more the people who don't take it seriously already, you know, loosen the reins a little bit more and allow themselves to take it even less serious than they did before. So, you know, I think it's important. I think it's really important to talk about the devastation of this disease and not leave those to silences where people figure it out on their own. And, you know, which unfortunately most are. But I found because of these media outlets, you know, unless you're really touched in your own personal life by the disease somehow, it makes it really difficult to understand the magnitude of it.
And as kind of a final question here, I would like to know, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind in the future? How would you want them to look back and remember this time, and what could we learn from it?
Leadership. I think what we have learned is that leadership is essential in times like these. You know, I was just watching an interview last night with an author who has recently written a book about the presidency being the hardest job on the planet. But one of the key points he made was that one of the key jobs or responsibilities of the president of the United States is to, in times of crisis, in times of hardship or pain, stress, danger, his job is to be that evening out mechanism, that comforting voice to bring people together and to help them strategically endure the process while finding solutions that are more positive. And unfortunately, in this scenario, I do not feel like we have seen any of that from a majority of our state leaders and certainly from our presidential administration. So I think what needs to be learned is that leadership is not only key for economics and trade and foreign relations, but it's key to helping domestic issues like this, like pandemics, being prepared, not getting rid of things that former presidents have put together to prepare for pandemics just because they have their name on it. It's essential that we vote people in that will take care of us not only in foreign relations and the protection from military dangers, but also the domestic things we face here as normal, everyday citizens, pandemics being one of them. If we are not prepared for these things, then it devastates all other aspects and of the government and life as an American. So preparation and leadership are probably the two biggest things to take away for this one for me.
J. Michael, I sure do appreciate your time, and I appreciate the amount of information that you were able to share with us today. Is there anything else that you felt like we should have covered that you would like to add?
No, just stay safe. Just stay safe. Wear your mask. Listen to the things that they're telling us, because I think it's crucial that in this day and age when science seems to be challenged by ignorance, that we actually listen to the voices who really have our best interest at heart, which is keeping ourselves safe. So just do what's required. Keep each other safe. That's our responsibility.
Thank you so much, J. Michael.